As we have entered into this glorious season, I was thinking, oh, am I qualified to be a calling servant of God? Can I really live according to the calling of God? And can I really sincerely, faithfully carry out my calling and my mission before the Lord? I think I've been thinking like this like nearly every day. And I gave God a lot of questions. Lord, am I really worthy of this calling? Am I really worthy to be in this community? So my joke ended at the story of Kim Hee-jun, but so when I heard that pastors cannot be who they are without God's calling, that phrase has been echoing next to me over a few years. So when Chungman was saying that, oh, you know, I don't really belong to this church, when he said that, you know, I really felt how he felt. So, you know, I didn't know what to do before God when I was thinking about, can I really be a pastor? And somehow I feel like my life is becoming religious, because worship became burdensome to me. And of course, I love ministering, I love praying and everything. But ultimately, because I was not able to see God's glory, that time became burdensome to me, like the legalism. And that's how I've been living past few years. And I asked Pastor Kim once while driving him home, and I said, Pastor Kim, am I doing right? Am I living in the right way? Sometimes I don't know whether I'm doing it right. And he said, like, your inside is okay, but you don't have strength to break through right now. And when he said that, I really agreed to what he said. And actually, after I became a pastor, I didn't know where to share my weakness. And I have cell meetings with pastors, and whenever we have cell meeting, it was not easy for me to share my weaknesses. And right now, Pyeong-an, my son, is a sophomore in high school. And it would be nice if I could talk with Pastor Lee, but, you know, I didn't have time to, you know. And I told him, hey, Pastor Lee, you know that I used to be addicted to pornography before I came to Yeolbang Church, right? But these days, I tend to watch YouTube, and whenever I watch those videos, I ended up watching them more than 1 hour. 1 hour. And when I shared it with Pastor Kim, Pastor Kim said, after hearing the glorious message of God's dream, you're thinking is quitting being a pastor. And he said something differently from what I felt. And he said, after listening to my weaknesses, he didn't say right away. because, you know, I also share a few other things about my family. And because, you know, the road I drove him was not that long, so, you know, I didn't say many things. But as I was having a conversation with him, and of course I believe that he interceded for me as well. And after that short period of time, I felt like the door was shut. And after that time, I immediately began to lose the energy toward that weak areas that I used to have before. So I realized that, oh, this is the principle of the church. It is not me who is just meditating on my own spiritual things, but when I have somebody to share, in the church, I should be able to do that. And until now, I was not able to do this. And I also shared this during the prayer meeting. And when I was saying this, this prophet said that, you know, this is the weakness of the pastor, so we should consider it and not find it as his weakness. And actually, until now, I don't really know how I should deal with these kind of things, even though I had a conversation with Pastor Kim. But ultimately, I feel like I'm a person who also need help. And without this principle of the body parts in the church, I cannot continue in my faith life. And from that moment, I was able to enter deeper into the sermon. And Pastor Kim said like this during the sermon. I was thinking that he would say, pastors who cannot fulfill God's dream must die. But instead, he said, in the community of James, they were able to commit the sins to one another. And when I heard that sermon, I felt the love of God penetrating in my heart deeply. And while Pastor Kim was talking about the holiness, the dream of God, it was very burdensome to me, actually. And I prayed to God, God, I cannot stand before you. And I couldn't even pray. But I just cried out to my father. And that father didn't look away from me, and he came to me. And the greatest comfort for me was that he came to me. He visited me. He received who I am. He loved me. I reassured that is the most important thing in my life. And that's how I began the conference. And I thought that I would be crying a lot during the sermon, because yesterday as I was preparing for the sermon, I cried a lot. But when you look at chapter 40, verse 1, comfort my people, says your Lord, says your God. And verse 2 says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins, for all her sins. So verses 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 is the declaration toward Zion. So the text that we see today are consisted of four declarations. And second declaration is from verses 3 to 5. That is, declare and cry out to the wilderness. And from verses 6 to 9 is the third declaration, third proclamation. Actually, verses 6 to 8 are crying to the grass. And from verses 9 to 11 is the declaration and proclamation of the king's return. So those are the four proclamations. And the reason why I'm telling you how I met God through this conference is because, you know, during this time, southern Judah was not captured as slaves yet. And he is proclaiming about the restoration of Israel again. And as you see here, what does God say? God says that he loves them, and his love is his comfort. And just as God visited me, when I was looking at the Bible, I was thinking, oh, what is the biggest comfort in the Bible? And it is God, actually. And when I first met God, what God told me was that I know everything. I know it all. It's okay. And when I heard that, I didn't know why, but I just cried and cried. And that one sentence, that I know everything, comforted a lot. And God even visited me during this conference. And regardless of my condition, he just visited me because I called Father. And after meeting him, I ended up crying. And maybe because I already cried during the conference, now I'm not crying. So I guess I can continue in the sermon. So if I cry, you know, my children don't like it. They say, oh, Dad, you cried again. And for your information, I don't really enjoy crying up here, but I'm not embarrassed, you know, when I cry, because I'm crying before God. Okay, anyways, verse 1. Verse 2 says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. So, you know, verse 2 is consisted of 5 different sentences in original language. So, what is Isaiah saying here? You have to speak out to Jerusalem, and you have to speak out to the heart of Jerusalem, which is the temple. And secondly, you need to cry out that her warfare is ended, because you have received all the judgment, that your punishment is taken off from you. And as you know, just as I said, as much as we have lived in our old self, that energy will be left in us. Even if we repent, we still have to fight against it. We have to fight against the enemies that are keep tempting us. But who is the one that solves all this? This is something that is solved automatically when he comes to us. So Isaiah is proclaiming about the Lord who is being suffered as well. And let's look at the second cry, verses 3 to 5. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. So, you know, what is this voice? This is the voice that is crying out. And this is not just a voice, but this is the word of God, the truth. And the reason why pastors are transformed during this conference was because of the truth. Pastors couldn't say anything before this truth, but most importantly, they became liberated through this truth. As they were watching the corrupted Korean churches, they were tormented by the situation. But as they received the truth of God, they were liberated. They were not just comforted by these humanly comforts, but because God's word was fallen upon them. That's why they realized, oh, this is the truth. This is the word of God. We have nothing else besides this. And And Pastor Kim said to me when I told him that I was keep watching YouTube, Pastor Kim said that pastors should devote their lives into reading the Word of God and listening to His voice and praying to Him. And I was really thankful when he said that, because one of my habits was spending my time in something else after, you know, after worshiping, after ministering. You know, I would go to sauna, watch news, or, you know, have a nap. So even though it was not something that I heard for the first time, but I realized that, yeah, I need to, you know, stick with God even more. Of course, it's not that I'm not living with God, but I should be filled with God until living with God becomes my only joy. I think that is what God requires me. And when I acknowledge that, I realized that God was keep pouring His joy upon me, so that I was able to just remain in joy when I was thinking about Him. And I don't know how it happened, but that's what happened. Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. So are you guys living in the wilderness right now? When you look at Luke 13, the voice of the wilderness, you know, John the Baptist appears. And chapter 3, verse 1 starts like this. It begins by, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. And what happens during that time? During that time, the word of God came upon John, son of Zechariah. So where did it come upon? It came upon the wilderness. The word of God cannot fall upon the city of religion. And God is keep calling us out of the city of religion. And we also fought spiritual battle harshly during the conference. So I try to dance as much as possible. And in the final session, I jumped off the stage trying to do that nice kick. And during the sermon, I realized that I sprained my left ankle. But it became better after the conference. I was thinking, oh, you know, my own strength rose up again during that conference. So, you know, I delivered out and repented. So anyways, I'm up here, right? I'm up here on the stage too. Because I decided in my heart, oh, if I could destroy the spirit of religion in me, I will try to go up to the stage as much as possible. So if I do something weird, just think that, oh, you know, he's trying to destroy the spirit of religion. And I also wanted to lay down with the students as they were dancing, that new anointing is falling down, you know. But I was afraid of kicking these students with my feet. But anyways, I also want to make my life as wilderness so that I cannot live without relying on him, so that I will also receive the falling of the word of God. And I wish that our church would also receive that calling too. When we go before God, do you know how God calls us? God calls us as voice in the wilderness. So in Joshua, he says that Elijah will come and prepare his way. So in verse 3, this voice is a singular tense, but the commandment later, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, is written as a plural tense. So because because the voice in the future who will come to prepare his way will be many. I don't really expect our primary school students to, you know, worship God well. But ever since I was in charge of them, one thing that I was continuously feeling is that Ansip receives the anointing which has nothing to do with their own skills and their own quality. And whenever I enter into the worship with them, I feel the anointing regardless of their condition or their quality. And we have this worship once in a week. And Onyu also came to our worship to lead the praise, but you don't remember it, right? And Pyeonggang also came to us to, you know, lead the praise. I cannot say much because these kids are with me listening to what I'm saying. But even though they are worshiping, you know, by themselves, I couldn't stop but crying. And what they sing is always the same, but when I was standing in the behind, you know, watching them worshiping God, because of that anointing, I couldn't stop crying. And my son Pyeonghan was like 2 or 3 years old. And he was coming toward me. And while he was coming to me, he turned backward and he went away. And God told me that he's not your son. He's not your child. He is the one who will return my way. Who will prepare for my return? Sorry. Even though you guys are sending your high schoolers for RT, I want to tell you that these students are not your own child. These are not your children. And why are we training our students without summer break? Because that's how God is leading us. And that's the anointing of God leading us in this season. Sometimes I come out to the, I always come to the church 7 a.m. Sometimes some of these students come earlier than me. And sometimes my children come home later than I, even though you know, I came back from like the leadership training. So I told them, hey, why don't you guys be the pastors instead of me? And these children, they say that, oh, I have to preach tomorrow. So I said, oh, you are preaching more than I do. But, you know, that's the generation that God is raising these days. And that's the identity that he's giving us, voice of the wilderness, while giving the anointing, dignity, authority, breath of life of the king. And he's also surrounding me with the host of heavens, with the Mahanaim army. And I believe that there is nobody who is being sent out because Pastor Kim says, it is God who is sending you out. And we never know what is going to happen when our children goes to the mission field, but I'm sure that they are all sent by God. And when I see them being transformed, I'm really happy. At home, I cannot educate them. I don't talk about my first and second child, but you know, they fight often. It's not a secret, right? You all know this. Maybe it may be a secret to the adults, but anyways, I told my children like this. Hey, I'm going to say this even if you don't like it, because God told me this. So I don't like my first son over other children. But when I talk with my son Pyeonghan, he says that I am too soft to my daughter Hannah. And when I talk with Hannah, she says, when we fight, you always just come to me to scold. And she thinks that, they both think that I like the other one more than them. Sometimes, and right now, I want, you know, Pyeong-an to have more leadership and Hana to be obedient to his leadership. And this is not a secret. And Hana is actually a little bit smarter than Pyeong-an. However, for men, it is not that important how smart that person is. Since my both children are looking at me, you know, I don't know what to say. So, you know, I was able to, you know, share these kind of stories with Pastor Kim too. And my youngest son, these days, his rebellion became greater. So actually, I didn't know what to do with them. And, you know, I received a family counseling with Pastor Kim. So I was just wondering if you guys were curious. So however, because these children are not mine, that's why I wanted to raise them according to God's law. Not according to my own will. But when they begin to rebel, I begin to pray. And even though I get angry, sometimes I kick them. I even kick them because I became angry. So, you know, comfort my children, encourage them. So I don't know what I'm saying up here. So anyways, so we need to prepare the way of the Lord. Let's return to the text. We need to return to, we prepare the way of the Lord and strengthen his way. And what should we do? In order to do that, what we need to do is to proclaim his word, his truth. Just as many people said, it is not what I do. And the Bible says we need to proclaim. And then every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. So nothing can be exalted before God. And without preparing for his return, we cannot move on its own. Because even now, the word of God, as it is being proclaimed through our mouth, it is natural for all the creation to be ruled by us. And verse 3 says, verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So actually, this is what Isaiah told to people who are coming out of the Babylon. And glory of God is following wherever we go to all these arty places, because missionary is sending the church to that place to build a church. And missionary is bringing the image of Son of God. And as we bring that image of God into the mission field, and as we proclaim that word as it is, then God's being within us is being manifested through us. That's the missionary. So why is Yeolbang Church so powerful? Because that's the relationship that we have between God. And that's the worship that we offer before God. And because we haven't compromised with the world and defended the truth, and we still strive to live by the truth, that is why God is manifesting his work wherever we go. Amen. Third proclamation, declaration is toward the grass. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the flower of the field. He said, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. And verse 7 says, The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. So up there, he says, flesh is grass. But especially among the flesh, he is saying that, you know, people are grass. And when the breath of the Lord blows on it, it will wither and its glory will begin to fade. And that breath is breath of life, right? And when you look at Ezekiel 37, it revives the dry bones, it blows in life, and it builds the vast army. That's what breath of life is. And the sign of the breath of life blowing is grass is going to wither and their luxury will fade away. You know, that's the beginning of God's judgment. Giving us the breath of life, giving us the work of the Holy Spirit is the sign of God's beginning of His judgment. Is it weird? Then ask God. Okay, let's continue. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. As we go toward the end time more and more, the wicked will become more wicked, the holy will be holier. And as we go toward the end time, we will see the greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit and work of God. And I said grass and the flower represents Babylon. And I want us to, you know, refer to Revelation. When you look at Revelation 17, the religious Babylon dies. And the center of that religious Babylon is great prostitute. And she stands on top of the sea. And that sea represents influential people and the kings. And she is the person who controls all over them. Chapter 17, verse 2 says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. So verse 4 says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with golden jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and impurities of her sexual immorality. So what does this mean? The biggest characteristic of religious Babylon is luxurious, its luxuriousness. But it is still hiding impurities within her. While serving the things that God doesn't want them to serve, they enjoy the luxury that they have. So the show that we heard from the sermon, right? The worship without presence of God, pretending as if they have Holy Spirit among them. We are now living in the days of parlousness of the church. And in some churches, they even make these animal sounds on purpose. So churches of God are keep being corrupted. You invite this Buddhist monk, these shamans, Hindi monks. Through WCC, they allowed all those to enter. And the political Babylon, and when you look at verse 14, it says, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and faithful. So who are the remnants? They are the people who continuously follow on God's calling through the holiness. And as you know, Babylon's conclusion is a destruction. And Babylon has a lot of debaucheries, immorality, and being drunk in wine. But what captures my heart is trading and merchandising things. They keep buying and selling things. And what do they buy and sell? Just as the Samaritan woman keeps seeking for her husband, Babylon keep trades the things that they want to have. They will keep by the things, thinking that they will be happy when they possess it. That's a deception, right? And what, even what do they buy and sell? They even buy and sell people's heart, people's spirit, the human souls. So that Babylon will be destroyed at the end. And it is God's will for us to be separated from this Babylon. And Babylon has nothing to do with God's kingdom. Amen. Amen. Maybe do we have something to do with Babylon? So we need to continue to be separated, because being separated is the power. Being separated allows us to have the right relationship between God. If you love God, if you love the world, if you have something, or if you love something from the world, then God's love is not within you. So lastly, Isaiah is proclaiming the return of the king. Verse 9 says, "Go up to the high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, says to the cities of Judah, behold your God." The reason why we cry is to behold him, to see him. And that good news is gospel. And it was the comfort before. But now, not only the comfort, but you need to, you know, deliver and spread the good news so that the whole world can see. That's why, you know, he is calling people to come up to a high place, high mountains. And they have to raise their voice and fear not. They have to have boldness and confidence. So when you proclaim the word of God in this end time, you have to give your life and not give up until the end. Because God is saying that I will, you know, recompensate all your things. Verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." So even though the enemies will be strengthened, but we should not be weakened. Because the Lord's return is near, so the day he returns, we need to go before him confidently. So we should not lose our faith, our confidence, our bravery before him. In verse 11, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." So you can see two images of Jesus. One, he is strong. He can tread and destroy everything. And he has another image, which is a shepherd. He can give his life for his flock. He is the good shepherd. So when I was listening to Malachi this time, one thing that I saw through Pastor Kim is that leaders should not only have the strength, but also it is important for them to be able to embrace. And I realized that, oh, this is the heart of the Father. So when you say, return the heart of the father to the sons and heart of the children to the father, that is heart of Elijah, heart of Moses, heart of two witnesses. And one side of that is that you need to be strong so that you can carry out the battle like Israelites. But at the same time, we should be able to embrace. And when you do that, what is the heart that God gives us? And not that heart is created in us, but it is created when we worship him and as we meet him. One characteristic that we will have as we meet him is the reverence. But but in the New Testament, that reverence is closer to wonder. And God told us that to those who revere Him, God gives intimacy. So, as long as we do not lose our fear to Him, He will give us the intimacy. And I think that is how I was deceived by the religion. In order to prepare for this worship, I tend to forget about who I am. If God is God of Almighty, then how should I worship God today? If He is my Father, if God has entrusted His church to me, then in what image should I worship God today? And sometimes I cannot speak this boldly before God. God, I know that this place is glorious and You have called me with Your love. But Lord, I don't feel like I can handle this. One time, I saw Jesus, you know, walking before me, carrying His cross. And in the vision, I held in His neck and said, don't carry the cross. Don't be crucified. Even if you get crucified, I will commit the sin again. So don't get crucified. But Jesus kept going back to the hill to be crucified. And I cried to Him, "You crazy God. Even if You give me that kind of a love, I don't have any power to repay. So even during this pastor's conference, I pray to God, "God, I know Your love, but this is something I cannot handle. I don't have anything to give back to You." Except for calling You as my Father, there's nothing I can do. So being a pastor is not just a leader, but I think being a pastor is realizing that I cannot do anything before Him. So this is the end of the sermon. So at this time, let us pray. So, you know, remember these four proclamations of Isaiah, four cries of Isaiah. And not only during the sermon, but also throughout the testimonies, God said a lot of things. So please hold on to the things that God has told you during this worship. So as we live in this end time, please proclaim to Zion, to the wilderness, to Babylon. Proclaim to Babylon that it will be judged. And God is keep making us to proclaim His return. And this is God's calling. And this is not something that we can do with our own strength. And of course, we will be obedient. We will be faithful to His commandment and His calling, no matter what He entrusts us. So Lord, at this time, we want to acknowledge Your dignity with reverence. Lord, before Your love that You gave to us in order to make us glorious, Lord, help us to, you know, revere You. Lord, when our hearts are weary, Lord, awake us again and renew us so that we will be renewed in You. Lord, help us. Help us to live by You. Let us pray. Living Father God, we thank you. We give thanks to you. Thank you for calling us as Voice of the Wilderness, giving us the word of the King, and allowing us to deliver the gospel of the kingdom of God like Jesus. Thank you for making us your disciples. We praise you for allowing all these amazing works. Lord, let this holy calling that you gave to us help us to secure that calling until your return. Protect us and protect our confession. Lord, we pray for the offering that is offered today before you. Lord, you told us that you will give us a spiritual tire and pour us the wine and the olive oil for the offering. So Lord, open the secret channel to your remnants that we will have great power and the blessing and grace of God so that we would be able to serve the remnants for the end time. And let these offerings be used by you through the church and wherever this offering go, Lord, not only they will save the spirits of the people, but also, Lord, let them not remain in the same place and let it become a living water. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and indwelling communion, comfort of the Holy Spirit, be with all your precious church members, their saints, upon their family, their children, their vision, their workplace, and inheritance upon this land and this nation, to all the missionaries and mission field, and upon Yeolbang Church and Zoe Ministry, from now on and forevermore. Amen.